Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody.
God. Praise the Lord. Praise the
Amen.
Lord.
Amen. Amen. Tonight's the night for you to go ahead on and knock it out in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You
got
it. Go ahead. God bless you.
Glory to God in the highest, my friends, my brothers, my sisters, and all of those who are just tuned in. In the name of Jesus, I come and I bring you greetings in that wonderful, glorious name, Abba, Yeshua, Elohim, El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty, the King of Kings. He reigns forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. I come, let us pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, we enter into your gates with praise and thanksgiving, giving you all the exaltation, all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. We love you, Lord God, with our little bitty minds, our little bitty self. We are not worthy to call upon your name, but we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. We praise you. We magnify you, Lord. We thank you. We ask you, Lord, to guide every word I say, every thought I do in the name of Jesus, that I will give you all your glory, all your praise, and that those that are listening and those that hear will be able to learn how to walk and have victory in you, in Jesus' name. Good evening, everybody. I am so glad to be with you tonight. I am so happy in the Lord. The Word of God say, happy is the man that know the Lord. And we know the Lord. And if there's anyone out there that doesn't know the Lord, don't know Jesus, feel free to hang on the line, and we will do our very best to introduce you to the Most High God. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is all in all. He's all we need. All power in heaven and earth has been given unto him. So we beg of you to listen tonight with a listening ear. The Word of God teaches, be swift to hear, slow to speak. But if you have any questions, I will make allowances for time. And if you feel like you want to donate, and if you're being blessed, we feel free to do that. And if you call, we will gladly show you how you can do that, so we can give God all the glory and the victory and help. We're not here just for us. We're here for all of those who want to know and have a closer relationship with Jesus. I want to learn how to walk upright and talk upright and show you how to walk upright and how to talk upright and how to claim and stand on the word and have the victory that Jesus Christ has promised us. And tonight I want to begin. I know I was in another book last week, but this week, tonight, I was in Matthew last week, but I want to make sure we get our doctrine straight. I want to make sure you understand, because it's a lot of Christians who go to church every Sunday, who pray every day, who read the Bible, who don't understand the doctrines of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Old Testament was for our learning. That is taught in 1 Corinthians. Everything, the Ten Commandments, all the 613 laws, all of that was for our learning. And it has its meat, and it has its place. Proverbs and Psalms and Ecclesiastics and Song of Songs, those are a book, Ecclesiastic, Song of Songs is a book of love, God's love. Ecclesiastic is basically about wisdom. And Proverbs is wisdom and understanding and general life, showing you the things of life. So, if like I say, at the end, the number we're on, just in case there's anybody out there that didn't hear the number, it's 1-347. It dials you right into the line. 1-347-850-8955. It'll dial you right into the radio station. This is Blog Talk Radio that we are on by the great Dr. Willie J. Hunter, who is the MC. So we thank God that he has a calling on his life and is compelled. He is compelled to lift up Jesus, and so am I. If anybody is online that heard, that received my notice on Facebook, I also put one on there inviting everybody by Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to be in Galatians, but right now I want to read you Ephesians chapter 1 as I quoted to you on the on the Facebook. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. This is who this book is to. And I would pray that you will take note, everyone, of every book that is in the, and how it begins in the Bible. It's very important that you understand who's writing, who is talking to, and right here is talking to the faithful in Christ Jesus from Paul the apostle. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I keep telling everybody everywhere I go, capital I-N, capital C-H-R-I-S-T, is the most two important words for you in your life, because your whole world changes because of those two words in Christ. Somebody can walk up to you and say, oh, yeah, I remember when you used to be a drunkard or this or that or whatever. I remember when you used to do this or that or whatever. And you need to tell them that was before I was. I-N-C-H-R-I-S-T. Because that's where the difference is. Because in Christ, I am born again. In Christ, I am saved. In Christ, I have been made righteous. In Christ, I am a holy priesthood. In Christ, I am a minister. In Christ, everything depends on in Christ. Now, just because you've been going to church for 50 years, and sitting in a pew, or even might have a pew with your name on it, it does not make you in Christ. You've got to have come to the place where you knew that you could no longer go on like you were going, and that you needed a personal relationship with Jesus. And I'm going to show you, some people will tell you that you can't know that you know that you know that you're saved. Well, I'm here to tell you, you can know that you have been born again. And the First John chapter 1 tells you that you might know that you have eternal life abiding in you. So if the other scripture tells you, make your calling and your election sure. My job here is to show you that Christ, grace, and love are synonymous, and that Christ has died to give you liberty and freedom and to justify you. We are justified through Christ. Now, in my own flesh, in my own stand, I cannot do nothing. I am nothing. I would be nothing. But in Christ's glory. And that's why, as you've heard me preach for, what, 3 years, 4 years now, that I am going to heaven when I die. And you can say, oh, how she can say that? I'm going to heaven because I've been born again. I've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been washed in his blood. And if anybody ever had an old wash machine that you used to stick your clothes in and then have to run them through the wringer, it was one on Facebook yesterday. It's amazing. Well, I've been washed in the blood. Of course I've made mistakes and sinned and done things that didn't please God or me in these 48 years I've been preaching. I haven't always come up to the plate, but salvation is a process of growth. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians that you're babes when you first get saved. You're babes. So we got a lot of preachers out here, a lot of ministers out here who are teaching the word who are babes. I taught the word when I was a babe. And as I have grown, I see my errors also. I see my errors. But, you know, strong milk belong to them that have grown of age. So I want you to understand, if you've been born again, if you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, if you've been washed in the blood, if you've been regenerated, if you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, and I've been preaching to y'all for 4 years on this here, 3 to 4 years. These years have flown so fast. And I've always told you, a brand new baby right now, all over the world, there are babies being born right this minute. According to my clock, it says 7:14. So that's 7:14 Central Time. But however, all the babies born right now, no matter if their mamas and daddies are saved or lost or whatever, that doesn't matter. They still got to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They still got to be born again. They still got to be regenerated and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is one thing that the churches are not telling you. And so that's why we have so much judgment going on, that Christians are judging the homosexuals, the liars, the adulterers, the fornicators. All of those people that do those things are sinners. That's true. They are sinners. And so, as Paul tells you, if you read his book, so was we. All of us were sinners. Was. But now I am a saint. I am saved by the grace of the living God. I have been washed in his blood. I have been made the righteousness of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is what I want you, if you don't understand nothing else I say, I want you to understand whom you are and whose you are and who you are. That is very important for you to get that understanding. And that's why Paul, most of his letters began to the saints, S-A-I-N-T-S. And as I've taught on this program before, that just because the Catholics take years to make a person a saint, that is not how God makes a person a saint, okay? We know, and I say that because it took them several years to make Mother Teresa a saint. they told the process on the television how the Catholic Church was establishing that she should be a saint. However, I was already a saint when they decided to make Mother Teresa a saint, and I'm sure millions and millions or more was already a saint that had been born again in the blood, filled with the Holy Spirit, and know the love of Christ in their heart as the transformation from death unto life. And that is the most important part I want to tell you, is that while we were in our sins, the Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, while we were yet in our sins, Christ died for the unjust and the unrighteous. Wow. And we keep getting God all confused with us. God ain't like me. He ain't like you. He is God who had a plan of salvation, who sent the Holy Spirit down and impregnated Mary, a virgin. I'll believe it till I see Jesus, that she was a virgin. You will never make me doubt Jesus Christ's birth, death, and resurrection. Never. If you get these three things correct in your psyche, in your mind, in your heart, you will grow and prosper and be victorious in Jesus Christ. But if so many people got so much false doctrine, God's going to have to clean you out and start you all over again with the truth. So ask him for wisdom. Ask him for knowledge. Ask him for understanding as you grow in this journey. Christianity is a journey. Sainthood is a journey. There's going to be ups. There's going to be downs. Everything Jesus Christ promised in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in all the four Gospels, and in everything, he said they hated him, they're going to hate you. Guess why they hate you? Not because you're so pretty, or you're so nice, or you're so good. They hate you because he lives in you. But it takes some time to understand that now. I'm telling you, and for all you babes in Christ, it's very hard. When I was a babe, they hated me. They hated me. They talked about me. They criticized me. They did all those things. And I was offended. But it didn't have nothing to do with me. It wasn't about me. It was about him that lived in me. And that's the mystery. That is one of the greatest mysteries that God is talking about. And that's the mystery that I teach y'all. I've been teaching y'all for 4 years. Was it 1 Timothy 3:19? God was manifested. Let's get there. I'm coming back to Galatians and Ephesians, though. But 1 Timothy 3, is it 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy? Let me get there. I want to quote it good for you and write for you, because I want you to learn this, because it's hard to understand. 3:19. Here we go. There we go. 3:16. See, I was wrong. So it's 1 Timothy 3:16. But I'm going to start at 14. These things write I unto you, unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry means to wait. If I wait long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is, y'all hear this good, this is very important. This is 1 Timothy 3:15, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth, the pillar and ground of truth. Now, when it says the house of God, so many of us still get it means two places, but you are the house of God if Christ live in you. Get this straight now. Get it straight. We go to a building and we meet in a congregation, two or three, and we hope that you meet in the name of Jesus, because if you ain't, there's something wrong with that problem. Because that's what Jesus said, not I. That's Jesus' plan. That's Jesus' commandment. But verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Now, who was that? Who was that? I want you to understand. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, and believed on in the world, received up into glory. That was Jesus. That was Yeshua. That was the Creator, the Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah. If you don't know that by now, and this is one of the most sophisticated announcements of who Jesus is. Of course we know St. John chapter 1. Of course we know all of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John's. And we will be getting to those. But I wanted to let you know, in Galatians chapter 3, I'm going to go back there. I got 5, 10 minutes, not quite 10 minutes. But I want you to understand, I want you to get doctrine. Doctrine means teaching. And I want you to get it straight, because Galatians chapter 3 tells you, I hear so much false teaching about what you wear, wearing shoes with your toes out, or wearing mini dresses. I don't approve of all the mini dresses, but I don't see no sin in wearing shoes with your shoes out. You know, but these are all religions. Garbage that's been taught. Garbage. You can't find no scripture to justify none of that. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy how we should dress, and how we should adorn ourselves as women professing God, you know, and let it be that beauty of the inner man and not that necessarily the outer man. But it didn't say go around and be like you in a coffin either. I've seen them too. So, however, just because I'm dead to the world, I am the bride of Jesus Christ, and I want to be. And what am I adorned with? Because I am the bride of Jesus Christ, I'm adorned with joy. And that these people that claim they saints and look like they're in a coffin with powder all over their face and no smiles, no joy, no love. Let me tell you something. You can't find an ounce of joy with them folks. But however, I am happy because I know the Lord. And it is a miracle that I know the Lord. And it's not because I was so great, so wonderful, so beautiful, and all that good stuff that I know the Lord. It's because he first. Love me and you. You know, we can't brag or boast, but that's why I ain't got no reason to be sad either. Even if I didn't have money, and I'm very rich, even if I didn't live in a mansion, which I do, if I didn't have all, these are all spiritual things I'm saying. But even if I didn't have anything and lived under the bridge, I wouldn't have no reason to be sad, because I know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ paid the price and I am redeemed by the blood. And I, so Galatians chapter 3 for the last 3 minutes. Oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you, that you should obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ have been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law. See, I have time to finish because I'm down to a few minutes. But I want you to meditate, study, search the word about this letter to the Galatians. Because so many, I had a woman almost want to crucify me in a church because I told her we didn't no longer have to live by the Ten Commandments. And that's how babes, this goes to show you the difference in babes and grown-ups. The spiritual Ten Commandments have been put in our hearts. They in the New Testament. They in Romans, part of them, not the whole ten, part of them. They in the New Testament also. But Jesus Christ promised you in Hebrews that he would write them on your heart. He would put them in your heart that you might not sin against him. No, I don't want to commit adultery. I don't want to lie. I don't want to steal. I don't want to bear false witnesses against my neighbor. I don't want to be their judge and jury either. So, but people who are still trying to condemn people or live by, you don't even understand what you're doing. You don't understand that we that have been purchased, redeemed, we don't have to live under the Ten Commandments. We are already bought. We've been purchased. This is why God had to make a difference in the Old Testament versus the New Testament. I know it's a lot of people out there don't agree with me, and I don't blame you. But I'm not saying you can sin. You don't want to sin when you're married to the King of Kings. You want to be pure in heart first. If your heart ain't pure, it don't matter how pure your body is, because it's all in vain. You know, the word of God in the New Testament teaches, in vain do they worship me for teachings and doctrines and commandments of me. Yes, sir. I'm begging you, in the mighty name of Jesus, study to show yourself approved. Ask the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the love, for the pure love that comes from him, and for him to purify your heart. I'm no longer playing games with these here lying false preachers and false teachers and people who do not bother to exalt the living God. I come to lift up Jesus Christ and let you know that he came, he died, and he was buried, and he rose again just for you. And while he was hanging on that tree, he had you in his mind. And I say to that, my clock say 7:30. And so therefore, because my clock, let me see if my clock on, if my, my other clock say 7:29. But if you have any problems and want to know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, say, if you will confess. See, if you get the enlightenment to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ paid the price for you, he purchased you, he bought you, and that he's willing and open arms, ready and waiting to give you the time of your life, the time of your life, I promise you. Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And don't get caught up in a church or an organization that's telling you that they are it. Not a church. I don't care what the church do. It ain't. A building is not the way. God came and sent the Holy Ghost back, and the Holy Ghost comes to live inside of us. He don't live in a building. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So don't get it confused. But when two or three of us are in an assembly, Christ is in the midst because Christ is in us. Get that straight. Don't let these churches fool you. I met a woman the other day who was so messed up. It's so sad. I wanted to cry. I came home and I prayed for her. She's so messed up. God, in the name of Jesus, may God bless you all. Have a wonderful night. In Jesus' name. You there, Dr. Hunter? You there, Dr. Hunter? Hello?
Hello?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Can you hear me? Okay. I want everybody to put themselves on mute. Put themselves on mute. I want to read something, okay?
Yes, sir.
Imagine for a moment you're seated in the courtroom and you're on trial for the worst of crimes that carries a death penalty. The evidence against you has been delivered to the jury and your attorney is sitting right there by you. He then presented your defense the best he knows how. Now you wait for who? The jury's verdict. Wow, listen. All of a sudden, there was a hush falls over the courtroom because this person was well known. It was a young person, well known. But they lied on him. They did this. And the jury foreman stepped forward, rise to his feet, and faces the judge. You know one fact that us courtroom know for certain. You committed a crime, and the jury foreman is about to announce the verdict of you being guilty. How are you standing right now? You crying? You said what? The judge pounds the gavel. Boom, boom, boom. Your sentence cannot be escaped. Cannot escape. You can't escape what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to give you 45 years life to death. You have a choice, and you're hallelujah, somebody. And your lawyer cannot protect you. He done use all of your money. He done use his high ego, your helpless, to save yourself. But as I'm led away, you're led away from the courtroom in handcuffs, your head bowed down. A man steps forward. You don't even know a man and a stranger to you. He whispered to you, I'm going to take your punishment. Hold on a minute. He went up there and he talked to the judge. He said, Judge, I want to speak a word to you. He said, I want to be a substitute. The judge leaned forward and questioned him. You want to satisfy this man's qualification? He accepted stranger for your substitute. The handcuffs are removed from your wrist and put on his. While this man undeservedly goes to death, in my place, we're set free. We are allowed to live even though we are guilty because some of us have taken the punishment. I think I'll have to write up that right quick to bring it to your attention, what we're going to talk about today. So I have on the line with me the teacher, Brenda Lipscomb. Brenda, are you there? Brenda, are you there?
Yes, sir. I was trying to get to my yes, sir, I'm here.
Well, tell us something. Did you see the thing I was saying? What I wrote out. Can you understand what I was saying? Did it make sense?
Did it make sense what you said?
Yes.
All right. yes, sir, it made sense to me because we're coming up on Resurrection Sunday, and a lot of people call it Easter. I'm not debating with what you want to call it, but I am talking about the Savior. You know, we were guilty. We were guilty as charged, but Jesus stood up and said, no, 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 no. I'll take the punishment. I'll do your time. I have just erased everything that the judge sit on the and on the bench and hit the gavel and said. And so, to me, the analogy is us today in need of a Savior, but we have that Savior now because over 2,000 years ago, he did that. He approached the people and he said, you know, I'm going to take the punishment for you. You're guilty as charged, but I'm going to take the punishment for you. And we were discussing this last night and the fact that he said he had to submit, and that's what a lot of us do not want to do. He had to submit because you got to understand Jesus was both divine and natural. So the natural side of him said, Father, I wish that this cup would pass from me. I'm looking in this cup and I see all of these murderers, these liars, these whoremongers. I see everything. And you want me to die for them? But then he said, nevertheless, my Father, not my will, but yours be done. So he submitted himself to the will of the Father that you and I today might have the forgiveness of sin. He was willing to sacrifice himself. He was willing to shed his blood. He was willing to be nailed to the cross. He was willing to be pierced in the side. Crown of thorns placed on his head. Many lashes. And people don't understand a lot of times when they think about lashes and the whip, that is just a plain in rip. But that's not so. The whips that they used in those days had metal and glass and different things on the end of it so that every time he was struck, he was cut, and the blood came out for you and for me. That's an excellent analogy, Dr. I appreciate that because I want to be reminded in every way that I can the sacrifice that Jesus made for me, and he made it for the rest of the world. And I teach my grandson all the time, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he loved us, that he gave his only begotten son, that if we would just believe, put aside our intellect and just believe that we might have eternal life through his death. I'm just blessed tonight. And I wonder if Pastor Jay is on the line.
Yes, go ahead. Introduce him.
Pastor Jay, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, a lot of you have heard my testimony time and time and time again, but I want to introduce to you tonight Pastor Jay, and I'm going to let him come in his own way. But I still must give God the glory, the honor that's due him. And I met Pastor Jay because my son was in trouble. And he was in trouble in Louisiana. And they originally had him on a $370,000 bond. Then they reduced that a $125,000 bond. I was talking about Pastor Jay, and I called him, and he said, yes, I have a bed for your son. I said, well, thank you, Jesus. You know, thank you, Jesus. And the judge said, that is an excellent organization for your son to be going to. And I want you to know that, Pastor Jay, that was Judge Bradbury. He said that program is an excellent program. And so Pastor Jay is over that program, and it's called Open Door Bikers Church. And I'm going to let him, in his own way, tell you about it, tell you about himself, and then I'll come back with some comments afterwards. Pastor Jay, you have the floor. I'm going to mute my phone.
Oh, okay. I'm Jay Lawson. I'm the pastor at the Open Door Biker Church in Sulphur. I'll tell you a little bit about myself real quick. I don't know how much time we have.
You got plenty of time, sir. You got plenty of time.
Okay, good, good. I was mixed up in drugs and alcohol for most of my life. I was probably close to 40 years old before I surrendered my life to God, but I was an alcoholic. I was a male whore. I was a drug addict. I was a drug dealer. I took pills. I was a thief. I stole stuff all the time to support my habits and my addictions. I fought all the time. I was known to be a tough guy, not to mess with and all that kind of stuff. And that's just the way I lived my life. I've been riding bikes off and on all my life. I've just been I don't know how else to say it other than just being a real turd. That's the best way I can say it. But I surrendered my life. I went to prison twice, and I surrendered my life to God when I turned about 40 years old in a prison. They had some motorcycle ministry that come into the prison, and they allowed them to ride their bikes into the prison yard. And whenever I heard them go by the dorm that I was in, revving up their motors, my ears perked up, and I said, man, I don't know what's going on, but whatever it is, I'm going to it. So I went to it and listened to these bikers give their testimonies and talk to people and talk about God. And I knew who God was. I knew who Jesus was, but I didn't have a relationship with him, and there's a big difference. But I did believe in him. I grew up in church. I just didn't follow the church. But I surrendered my life to God, and when I did, everything started looking good, looking up for me. I've never felt the freedom that I have felt since I gave my life to God. Even in prison, behind those prison fences, behind the prison walls, the razor wire and all that, I was free, relaxed. Everything started going good. And when the motorcycle ministries come into that prison, man, I sat there. I remember thinking to myself, man, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to help people. And that's a testimony of my life of how it was. And after I surrendered to God and I went 100% in, you know, God don't like lukewarm. He wants it all. So I went 100% in, and things has been really great. When I got out of prison, I started going to this church that my dad was going to there at the Open Door Biker Church. And my dad tricked me into singing in the choir one day. I think it was on Father's Day. He requested that I get up and sing, and I couldn't say no because it was Father's Day and it was my dad. And so I got up and sang. Well, I ended up getting in the choir. And one day I walked in the church, and I got to tell you, one thing I got to add to this before I go that far. Whenever I was going to church in prison, there was a pastor there. I wish that I could have gotten more information from him so I could contact him and let him know, but it was in El Paso. His name was Pastor Deal, and that's all I know about him. But he prophesied over me. He spoke over me one day, and he said, Jay, he said, when you get out of here, he said, I can see you, and you're going to be a pastor at a church. You're going to have a church. And I laughed. I said, no, not me, buddy. You know, I'm in prison. I've been in and out of prison. I've been in and out of trouble all my life. It won't be me. And he said, I'm telling you, I see it, and it's going to happen. Well, I get in this choir, And one day I walked in, and I was late for choir practice, but I walked in, and the pastor had a family member that had passed away, and he was going to have to go do the funeral. And I didn't know that at the time, but I walked in late, and I was walking up towards the stage, and he had his back to me, and I heard him saying, well, he was talking to the other choir members. He said, well, I really don't know what I'm going to do, but I've got to be there, so I'll figure something out. And when I stepped up and heard him say that, I told him, I said, Pastor, I said, whatever it is that you're needing help with, just say the word. I'm there for you. I'll help you any way I can. And he turned around and looked at me, and he smiled, and he said, are you serious? And I said, yes, sir. Anything you need, I got you. And he said, good. You're preaching tomorrow night. I like to have fell over. I was like, he said, no, you said anything. And I said, yeah, but he said, you got this, Jay. You got this. And I said, okay. So I gave the message that next night, and I became the assistant pastor within just a very short time after that. It wasn't long after that that he turned the church over to me. Now, his name was Vince Guidry. He's the one that started the program that I have there now. He laid the foundation for it. He started all this about 12 years ago. I've added to it, and I'm doing a little more than he did at the time, but he laid the foundation, and it's just been growing since because of God. And it's 100%. Y'all, look, I'm going to tell you right now, I tried so hard to get off of the drugs and the alcohol and the life that I was living. I tried for a couple of years. I spent many nights sitting in a little shed in front of my house, crying like a big old baby with a stupid dope pipe in my mouth, crying because I didn't want to do it, but I couldn't put it down at the same time. And I couldn't do it on my own. So everything that I'm telling you is glorifying God in every possible way, because there is no way that I could have ever done what has happened myself. There's no way. God, 100% God. But to tell you a little bit about the program that we have, that's the testimony about me, but the program that we have there, we have the Open Door Biker Church every day, Monday through Friday. We serve lunch to homeless people and people who are just down on their luck and they're having a rough time with life or whatever the case may be. They're hungry. They need something to eat. Every day we fix a hot meal, and we serve that. Before we serve, we all get in a big circle and hold hands and pray and bless the food. It's 99% of the time it's a good hot meal. Very seldom will you come and get a sandwich. I mean, most of the time it's a good hot meal, jambalaya or red beans and rice or, you know, whatever the case may be. Sometimes we have steak, literally. We had a ranch here locally that donated a whole cow and had it butchered for us. So we had steaks and roast, and I mean, it's just hamburger meat, all that stuff. But we feed that every day. And then we give food boxes out to families who need help getting with groceries or whatever. We give food boxes out. We give those out once every 3 months to each family. And in certain circumstances, if need be, you know, we can do more than that. But that's the normal thing. We have a store area there that we call it a store, but really it ain't a store because you don't pay for anything. Everything's free. But the community donates so much stuff. We have clothes. We have household items. We have some household furniture. We have little whatnots, all kinds of stuff. People just donate all kinds of stuff. Golf clubs, I mean, you name it, they get it. But we put that all in the back, and we have volunteers that work there. I also have some guys that live there, and they go through all the clothes, and they make sure there's no, like, beer or alcohol logos or anything to do with drugs, anything that's to the casinos, anything that's got anything that's ungodly or not Christian-like, we take that out of the mess. And all the good stuff, we hang up, sort it out. We got it, like, sorted out with all the kids' stuff in one section, all the women's stuff is in a section, all the men's stuff is in a section. We have shoes, we have sleeping bags, blankets, sheets, all that stuff. And anybody who is in need of something can come to our church. They don't have to sign anything. We don't ask no questions. You just come in, go back there in the back, shop around, get the stuff that you need, and walk out with it. And again, everything's free of charge. Everything that we do, I cannot stress enough, everything that we do is by the grace of God. Everything that we do is given to us by God, and it's freely given to us, and we freely give it away. I have the program that she was talking about that her son is in. I have a house that's on the church property. It's got two rooms in it that are pretty big. We have bunk beds in it. I've got 12 beds. Right now I've got about eight men living there. It's only a men's ministry, but I am in contact with a woman locally that does a women's ministry. She does pretty much the same thing that I do. But anybody who's going through drug addiction, alcohol addiction, or anything else of that nature, or anything that's got them afflicted and away from the grace of God, they can come to our program and get off the streets, get off the drugs, get off the alcohol. We incorporate Jesus and God in everything that we do. We have Bible studies every morning. We have church three times a week. We have a 12-step program on Monday night. And on Friday nights, we have another 12-step program locally that is called Freedom Friday. And they can either go to that or they can go with me. I go on Friday nights to a local rehab and do a church service for them. And by the way, when I first started listening to your show here, I was listening to you talk about being in front of the judge and somebody stepping up and taking your punishment. And I was just sitting there with a big old giant smile on my face, because that is exactly, I don't know where you got your, I don't know where you got your story from, because it was awesome, but that's exactly what I used, the same analogy, that's what I preached on Friday night at that rehab. And God is just so good. But that's the stuff that we have going on there at the church. It's a 6-month program. The first 3 months they live there at the church. They help out with all the donations and what have you that we do. And they just stay there at the church and work around the church. And then after their first 3 months and they're doing good, they can get an outside job. I help them get employment. I'll help them get a driver's license if need be, work employment or whatever they need. I try to get them on their feet, give them an opportunity to go to work. And I don't charge for the service that we do. It's God's service. Once they do go to work, they donate to the church, usually $50 a week. But I don't make them do that, but that's just part of it. Everybody does. That's what we do. We have a great program that's really awesome, and God is just blessing us so much. And it's all God, like I said.
Amen. Well, you know what, my brother? One of the things I've read, life and death. I do a lot of reading. Life and death. And I thought about it. I said, you know what? Some way, somehow, by me putting this together, I can help somebody. We were slaves at one point. And so one of the things I would say to the person that are listening to us, somebody go on mute, please. Somebody go on mute. Somebody go on mute. All right. So what I really need to do is, I have a lady that I know, A. Roy, are you there? A. Roy?
Yeah, I'm here. Where is this brother's church at? What state is he in?
It's in Sulphur, Louisiana.
Sulphur?
Yes, ma'am. Sulphur, Louisiana.
Wow, I am just so thrilled about the things that you're doing. Sulphur. How far is that from Shreveport or where?
Port, it's straight south to the bottom of the state. It's all the way across Louisiana. Shreveport's at the top. We're at the bottom.
Oh, Sulphur. That's S-O-F-E-R, S-O-P-E-R.
No, it's S-U S-U-L-P-H-U-R.
S-U-L, sulfur. Oh, P-H-E-R.
Yes,
wow, your testimony is great, and God is really working with you. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm just ecstatic. I'm happy, happy.
Well, I know this was
well,
time of.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, sister. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Okay, let me say this here. I wanted Pastor Jay to give his address and phone number and different things so that if anybody is led to contribute to this ministry, that they can. He said, I heard him say every 3 months. And so right now, other than the financial end that I told him that I was going to bless him with, and part of the end of my testimony that I didn't give from the $370,000 to the $125,000, that my son walked out the jail with zero amount of money, no money.
Oh my
and
God.
I was able to take him out to eat to Walmart and then to his facility in Sulphur, Louisiana. And I want you to know that God is awesome. You know, there is none like him, none comparison to. And my son said that, Mom, who would not believe in your God? And Pastor Jay was there, and I told Pastor Jay, and he can witness to me. I said, Pastor Jay, I'm going to support your ministry, not because you helped my son, but because I believe what you're doing. In addition, I'm given the address and things like that. After hearing you say every 3 months, I am going to commit to, if anybody want to donate something, whether it's food or clothing or whatever, I will be willing to pick it up. Pastor Jay, you tell me your schedule, and I will be willing to pick it up and take it to Sulphur, Louisiana. So that's part of my commitment in addition to the finances. You know, so your information, you know, but every 3 months, if that's when you do it, every 3 months you'll see me if anybody gives me donations. And if not, I'm going to make sure you have some donations, something from somewhere.
Amen.
Amen.
And people, and we're going to take this ministry to the next level.
Amen.
Amen.
Woo, glory.
You cannot find an organization that helps offenders. You know, it is.
Amen.
And don't
That's
get
right.
felony. There is nobody there for you. They don't even want
Amen.
You to speak. So here is a pastor.
Yes.
That is
yes.
And his home, and are allowing men to be redirected, to be, according to Romans, transformed by the renewing of their mind. He places in them the ability to live in this life, in this society, with the Lord. Because you cannot do it without cannot. And we've all been there. We've all
Show
been there. We have all been there. It might not have been drugs. It might not have been hormone. But let me tell you, nobody was born saved. You know,
Amen. Amen.
Saved on my life. Well, the devil is a liar.
He's
That's
a liar.
What the word
Amen.
All sin is unrighteousness, and we were all born with it. God, that we know that the wages of sin is not death anymore, but it's the gift of God of eternal life through his son, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And Jay is doing a work for the Lord. He's doing
yes.
a work.
Amen.
He deserves, you know, all the support that he can get.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I want to set this here. It doesn't matter with Pastor Jay whether you are blue, black, white, Asian, Arab, or whatever.
It's hallelujah. Thank
and
you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
His heart is for people. And
praise
we need to
God.
Get this time set it because let me tell you, there are so many people that walk around in shame because somebody in their family was in trouble or in jail. But you know, more people like Pastor Jay tell it and then do something about it.
Amen.
That's going to be here. God said
that's
we're
right.
His arms and his legs, his feet, his mouth, feet. We got to be busy about doing what God has told us to do.
Amen.
A pulpit. Everybody wants to be in the church that has four walls. That is not the church.
That's
amen.
Not the church. Amen.
You need to
glory
to that God. Is not the church. You get out there and do ministry and help those less fortunate than you. Sow the seed. And
that's right.
Come in due time. Sow the seed. And one person tells another, and another person tells another. This thing is like, what is it, Samson that tied all their tails together, and they the pastor sent through. This is what we got to do for Pastor Jack.
Amen.
To donate if they want a mail or financial gift or whatever.
Amen.
You know, give them your
amen.
Give it to them slow. Everybody got a pencil?
I got a pencil. I got my pencil.
Pray.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Pastor Jay, let's hear it for Open Door Biker Church.
All right. It's the Open Door Biker Church. And the address is 423 West Burton, Burton Street. And that's Sulphur, Sulphur, Louisiana. And the zip code is 7-0-6-6-3. Now, I have a Facebook page. I don't have all that other social media stuff, but I got a Facebook page, and it is The Open Door Biker Church. Now, there's two churches that'll pop up when you put that in. One of them is the old one, and I don't have access to that one because the old pastor took that with him. But the new one has a picture of the front of the church on it with it's a red brick building.
Okay.
The other one's a gas tank of a motorcycle, I think, but it's not that one. It's the one with the front of the church on it.
Okay.
Well, I want to say this to you.
Is there a phone number? Is there a phone number?
Yes, ma'am. It's 337.
337-8-8-3-1-2-6 Thank
it.
You. And
423
West Burton Street, Sulphur, Louisiana, 70663. Oh,
yes, ma'am.
Praise God.
Well, now I want to say this in form of everything. The reason why I was able to read and do what I did, because in my time, I heard when I was doing everything you just talked about, God had a German to stop me. He said, my ankle ruined.
come here. In other words, in German language, I'm going to speak it plainly. He said, my friend, come here. I went over to see what he wants. And he didn't know I had $1 million worth of cocaine, pure cocaine on my back. He said, I want everything in your pockets to be stripped. All the different types, that money and the D-Moss, that money and French money, had all different kinds of money. And he took it all. And also the back that I had on my back. And I want to tell you what was happening. It was a setup. I was scheduled to do 70 years with them coming back to America. But God stepped in.
But God, amen.
But God. Can you imagine if I had a going on and not heard that man? If he was, God was an angel, you that man to keep me from going down because God had a great work for me to do.
Amen.
Everybody to know. I know this man talks about education. He talks about education, his program, the homeless, got hot meals.
Yes.
That Bible, a two-step, a 12-step, a 12-stepper.
Six months.
Oh, my God. Now, my question is, why is it, Pastor J.D., that a lot of men get caught up in them system, man, and they come in there for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and they just they get out, and all of a sudden they get out to go right back in. What is, I mean, the more we pray for them, the more they want to get back in.
Amen.
Pride. That's one of the worst, in my personal opinion, and that's all it is. It's pride. Men and women both really, but men especially are so prideful, and they get right with everything, and everything's going good, and as soon as one of their buddies, one of their partners, it sucks them right back in, and they don't have enough. Their pride swells up, and they can't say no. They don't know. They scared that somebody's gonna think something about them. Somebody's gonna call them a punk or whatever. Somebody's gonna call them something bad, and they can't handle that, and they go off and do the same stuff over and over again. Now, with me personally myself, it was whenever I surrendered to God, I read where it said not to fear what man can do. But fear what God can do, because
amen.
He can do for the eternal life.
Thank
and that right there was enough for me to say, you know what? Now, I told you earlier, I used to fight all the time. I was I wasn't no slouch. And whenever I came to God, I decided right then, look here, I'm not going to care what anybody says about me, because I don't care what the world thinks about me. I care about what God knows about me.
Amen. Woo.
So,
glory.
You see, my whole ministry, not my ministry, God's ministry, but the whole ministry that I'm a part of is based off of what I read in the scriptures about how Jesus came, God in the flesh, Jesus came to serve, not to be served. I'm not out there trying to get people to serve me. The Bible tells us to let Jesus be an example to us. And if Jesus is my example, then I'm not somebody to be served. I'm somebody to serve. That's my job. That's what I'm called to do. And I try to teach other people that, because once you get that, you find that joy, that peace, and that freedom that everybody's looking for, and you don't need all of that, all that other stuff.
Amen.
The reason why I said it, because I know a young man has been in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. They let him out. He has that ankle on. All of a sudden, he got a taste for them drugs. He's right back with the drugs. I said, man, what? Come on, man. You got to beat the devil at his own game. And I like the way you said it. I put it out in big with pride. And the pride would cause the devil to fall from heaven. It's his pride. So it passes on. One other thing I want to say to everybody. I'm going to pass it to my board members and talk with them. I ain't talked with them yet.
Well, what I want to do is make for sure you get, you tell me what's a special time that you have that I'd like to bring you on for 30 minutes and let you broadcast around the world.
Amen. 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 Every week. Every week. Every week. Yes, sir.
Every week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that you and I made contact, you and I stay in contact, and we're going to get it set up what you can do, the night that you can do it, because I want to tell you, because Brenda and I have been praying for years and years and years, and I told her, Brenda, if we say it for God, we say it, he's got the answer on us. And look what God has done.
Mm-hmm.
Look what God has done for us. Look what God has done.
Sure did. Didn't he do it?
I think about my little son, 40 years old. 47 years old. I think about my son. I think about my daughter. I think about my grandson.
Mm-hmm.
My
wife. Mm-hmm.
And see the times that we now live in. We're going to need men like Dr. J. We're going to need men like him.
Yes, Brother J, Pastor J. Yes, Lord.
And see, one of the things that I will say to you, see, I was a pastor, and I moved from a pastor to an apostle. I found an advantage being that way because I ain't got to be answering anybody but the Holy Spirit. Because I'm under the pastor.
Amen.
I just can't agree with him.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
And so, I'm gonna put you. I got social media. I'm gonna get everything set up. I've got a website. I'm gonna get you lead into it, talk to it, make you one of the ones. And I'm calling you on the 5-4 ministry.
Amen. Amen.
Because
how many of the brothers got a calling on their life, Pastor Jay? But they just trying to get over them drugs, like he just said. So have any of them stated that they got a calling on their life?
I've actually had two so far that have.
Uh-huh.
One of them said that, you know, he wants to become a pastor, and he's asking questions of how to go about doing it.
Okay.
He's a young fella, and he's got a great future ahead of him. And I had another one that asked me here recently that he wants to get into the children's ministry, and I think that is a wonderful thing because children is the future of the church. I mean, we have a special breed of church members that are the older generation, and of course, naturally, you know, they're dying off, and the younger generation just doesn't they don't follow the Bible like they're supposed to, like the older generation does. They don't read the Bible. They don't. They're taking the Bible and they twisting the words and they twist it to make it sound however they want to make it sound. And they're doing the feel good message thing and whatever. You know, they don't want to bring out the truth because it's going to upset somebody and they're going to walk out of the congregation and they're going to lose that weekly tithe. But, you know, we got a small church and I ain't there. We don't even pass an offering plate. We don't even pass one. We have a barrel in there. We have something that you can make an offering in if you want to. But we don't preach about it. We don't ask for it. It's just there. And
uh-huh.
I ain't worried about somebody's money. I'm worried about their souls.
Me too.
Amen. You see what I said. What I told a lot of people to come on our radio station. I said, this radio station is free. Whatever God says, do is send a blessing. But I want to let you know, Pastor, it's been my joy. It's been my time in meeting you, and that God used you. Now, I'm going to put you on Facebook tomorrow. You're going to write something real nice and send it to me. I'm going to put it on my YouTube. I'm going to put it on my Twitter. I'm going to put it on my Instagram. I'm going to put it on everything I have. And let it be known, we found a real true brother. Who's out there laboring that Jesus said, go you there for into all the world. Teach and teach. Land him. Deliver them. And so right now we need, hey, hallelujah. And we need more people that don't have their PRID lifted up. One day I'm going to teach you on that pride. Wherever it
goes, I was going to preach on it tonight. Boy, oh boy. Thank you, Jesus.
God is real.
God is real. I'm telling you, my son was in prison there in Louisiana. That's why he was in Shreveport. And wait till I tell him about you. Yes, sir. He's out. He's been out for 15 years now. But thank you, Jesus.
One of the things I want to tell everybody, I'm believing that everybody got all these things, these bills still hanging behind them. What do you call them? When you leave prison, they don't give you a clean record. What do you call? Help me out, somebody. When you don't have a clean record.
A felon.
Expungement. And I believe in God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jehovah Jireh. I'm believing that those things will be eliminated by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen. I agree with you on that.
Amen.
Besides that, nonviolent criminals shouldn't have a felony. You know, if they didn't rape and didn't kill, and I find that if God has forgiven a person, who is human being that they still holding all this stuff against folks? I don't understand how we could surpass God. I understand the laws of the land, but some of the laws of the land are very wicked.
Well, I'm going to tell you what Pastor Jay said. P-R-I-D.
Yes, sir. Pride.
You know, I tell people that all the time, what you just said about if God can forgive, who are we? I tell people that all the time because let me tell you something else that brings a lot of people down is whenever they holding on to themselves. They won't forgive themselves. And they beat themselves up for the things that they've done. And I like it. It's funny because I tell them, I say, now look, are you better than God? And they all look at me kind of funny. And
What
are you talking about? I said, are you above God? What are you talking about, Pastor? I said, do you think that you're above God? Well, of course I don't think I'm above God. And I said, well, if God can forgive you, then who are you to hold on to?
And it is pride. You are so right. I couldn't forgive myself when I backslid. I understand that. And it took me, I repented every day for 5 years, but it took me years to realize that I was just what you just said, that who was I not to be able to forgive me? Who was I?
That's right. That is pride.
That is pride. Amen. I didn't think it was pride. I thought it was because I had did such something against God that I just couldn't see how I could have done that against God, and I couldn't forgive myself. That was the one I couldn't forgive. But it was pride. I didn't know it was pride, though. Yes, sir. You're so right.
My wife, Marty, always tell me all the time, she called me knucklehead. You need to keep your pride. So let your pride fall. Let your pride fall.
Let the pride. Yeah, pride is I was going to read a teach about the six things God hates. And pride is number one of them, you know. So that's what I was going to – I was coming from that – that was where I was going to come from tonight. So, yeah, we just thank God, boy. We thank God that and what's the sister's name that had her son – what's her name?
Brenda.
Brenda. She's still on the line. Thank you, Sister Brenda. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. I said I'm Dr. Lipscomb. I can give you my phone number also.
Yes,
so that,
I'm ready. I was getting to the page. I'm ready, Sister Brenda. Thank you, Jesus. Because when you get ready to go, I got stuff I want to send too. I got a whole bunch of stuff. Okay.
Oh, great. It's 832-449-8379.
Wow, 449-8370. And are you in Louisiana too?
No, ma'am. I'm in Houston, Texas.
832-449-8379. And my number is 346.
Oh, wait, I wasn't ready.
Okay. And for Brother Pastor Jay, too, you can write it down, too.
Yes, ma'am.
346.
218-218-2125. That's my cell phone. And this home phone, my Magic Jack line is 713-771-0200. Half the time it don't be connected because they claim that it's messing with my cable somehow way. I don't know how, but they said.
I got the 713.
771 after the 713, then 0200,
713-771-0200.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the name, please.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, Reverend Prince's Love, and Reverend is my first name also. It's not just my title. It's my name. I had my name changed in court, and the judge made Reverend my first name. I've been ordained since 1972, so I've been in the ministry 47 years. And Prince's Love is my last name. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. My name comes from 2 Peter 2:9, and my first name, Reverend, comes from Psalms 111, verse 9. But I wasn't going to name myself Reverend, but it's a royal. I was doing a royal from 2 Peter 2:9, a royal priest. And instead of priest, I did princess.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So God is good. Even if I was to get married again, I'd keep that name. I would never change my name again. So thank you.
Amen.
Well, you know this man is got this suit. Go ahead.
What'd you say, Pastor?
Okay, I said Brother G has a great ministry, and God had a reason for putting us all together. There's a reason for it. And sometimes you just kind of look at things. Now, I got to. Go ahead.
I didn't say anything. Somebody was saying something.
Well, one of the things I got to say. Go ahead.
No, Dr. Hannah, yep. I think the phone was not suited, so you heard
right.
A reverb.
Right. That's
okay.
Right.
Okay. All right, then. What I want to let y'all know, while we were talking, I got all y'all numbers. I got it printed out. I got all y'all numbers. So I'm not a spy on y'all. I'm just telling you. I just want to put what I want out to you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
One of the things I want to do is if I want to pray for the America, pray for our president, pray for both of the Congress, and pray for the Supreme Court, pray for the government, pray for all of those that we might leave that life that is talked about for us, that we can do it. Because now the closer we get to the coming of Jesus Christ, the more we got to submit and commit ourselves to Him.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
I feel a whole lot like I've been flushed out because I'm in much prayer. Much prayer. When I hear you're going to feed the homeless.
Amen.
To feed the homeless, Jesus said, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't have no clothes. You didn't put no clothes on me.
Mm-hmm.
But they said, but Lord, I'm just going to, but Lord, wait a minute. Wait, hold up, Lord. When you didn't do it to the least, then you did it to me. Wow.
Amen.
Amen. So I know that tonight's a great night. We got about 3 minutes left. I'm going to pass the word and close this on a blessed day. And Pastor Jay, I want you to know, you're going to be hearing from us. We want to thank God for the time we've met with you, the fellowship we've had with you. A lot of our hearts were lifted up, a lot of stuff we learned by through. We didn't want everything about you. We don't want to get it started with you. That's fair?
Amen. It's awesome. It's a very, very humbling, very humbling experience.
Dr. Hunter, let me add this here also. I have so much to say about Pastor Jay. And trust me, I'm not putting him on a pedestal because, you know, when people get on that pedestal, they fall off, you know.
Amen.
But I just want you to know this also. He didn't go to the rich neighborhood and set up his church. He went in one of the worst neighborhoods in Sulphur, Louisiana, and he is a beacon light all around. You know, he was telling me houses, there's this, there's that. But in the midst of all of that, the light of Christ is shining. And if people don't understand, when they see such an organization going on, when they see this church, you know, that they're going to want to be a part of it. Because, you know, light attracts. Darkness makes you sneak around and try to do things you shouldn't do.
Uh-huh.
But I want you to know the light of the church stands as a light and a representation of Christ. And Pastor Jay, you just keep on keeping on.
Amen.
Amen. I will. I want to say one more thing before we close. You know, the biker part of the name, there's not a whole lot of bikers in our church. There's not but just a few of us, you know, four or five of us, maybe something like that. Everybody else is just like everybody else. They just regular old. They drive vehicles just like everybody else does. And you don't have to be no biker to come to it. We have an open door. That's why we call it the Open Door Biker Church. It's open for anybody, any race, any background. It don't matter what you've done in your life. It just don't matter. We open for everybody.
Praise God. I want to say that I supported the biker Christian biker group for many years with the other church I used to belong to. So I'm very, very and you know, this here guy that came out from Kenneth Copeland, he has he's part
That's
of the
right.
biker. Yeah.
yep.
Jerry Seville.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
So now that don't shake me at all, because we used to send our money to the Christian bikers. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
In the same country, may the Lord bless you and keep you there. Peace be with you.
Y'all too.
Amen.
God
Thank
bless.
You.
Love y'all. Bye-bye.
Love y'all. God bless you.
Love you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.